a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry, 12 contacts related to the Dakota Access Pipeline, one contact was related to the Keystone XL Pipeline, one contact was related to wind energy, one contact was related to One Call, and 18 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,914 of the 1,916 complaints received in 2014 have been resolved, and 445 of the 468 complaints received in 2015 have been resolved.
Questions from the commission?
A quick question, Ms. Gregg. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
I can't sing, but Gary can. So the home show, none of those are included here because certainly
Correct.
We had a lot of questions about Do Not Call.
Correct. And we had several questions about Do Not Call.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions? If not, thank you, Ms. Gregg. That brings us to our first electric docket, EL 14-019, in the matter of the filing of Black Hills Power, Inc. for approval of its 2014 Economic Development Plan. And the question is, shall the commission grant Black Hills Power, Inc.'s request for withdrawal? And we will turn to Black Hills Power, Mr. Thurber.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. On March 4th, Black Hills Power filed a letter to withdraw this docket. The company intends to file a more current 2015 economic development plan by April 1st, so the company would just respectfully request withdrawing this docket.
Thank you. And staff?
This is Darren Carney for staff. Staff would simply recommend the commission grant the withdrawal of the docket. Thank you.
Questions from the commission?
I just have one quick question, Mr. Chairman. On the overage, I see that it's like, and I know you're withdrawing this docket, but just so I understand the process going forward, it looks like 50-50 split up to 100,000 ratepayers and shareholders. But the overage, that doesn't carry over, does it? Is that my understanding?
Yeah, if the expenses exceed $100,000, it's not carried over. If we're under 100,000, then we need to refund that to customers.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I understood that properly. Thank you.
Other questions? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 14-019, move that the commission grant Black Hills Power the request to withdraw.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to EL 14-108 in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power, Inc. for approval of its 2013 and 2014 vegetation management activities and 2015 budget. And I will turn to Mr. Thurber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Thurber on behalf of Black Hills Power. On the phone is Mike Frederick in support of this docket. He is Director of Engineering. Before the commission today is Black Hills Power's first annual vegetation management report. This report outlines vegetation management activities through November 2014, the planned activities for 2015, and provides an update to the five-year vegetation management plan. Black Hills Power's goal is to trim the entire distribution system over the five-year plan period. Over the last 2 years, the company has trimmed approximately 740 miles of overhead distribution line, so the company is right on track to achieve this objective. The company also provided our vegetation management plan for 2015 through 2018. This included distribution circuits with line miles that are expected to be trimmed during the remaining plan period. Black Hills Power will update the forecast for 2016 through 2018 based on the progress made on the five-year plan in its 2015 annual report. The detailed calculation of the Vegetation Management Regulatory Asset, or VMRA, is provided on Exhibit D of the application. The calculation was performed in accordance with the settlement stipulation in Black Hills Power's 2012 rate case. The company respectfully requests approval of the vegetation management costs incurred from April 2013 through November 2014, the proposed 2015 vegetation management budget, and the VMRA balance as of November 30th, 2014. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Pat Stephenson of staff. This filing represents a first of the annual compliance filings required with the establishment of BHP's Vegetation Management Regulatory Asset, the VMRA, as they call it, in rate case docket EL12-061. This VMRA was created to spread these increased vegetation management costs over a longer time frame, as these efforts have long-term benefits and it provides a means of rate mitigation until rates stabilize. An annual expense amount of $1,741,509 was set in base rates, and any excess would accumulate in this VMRA for a period of 5 years from the April 1st, 2013 effective date. Upon completion of the 5 years, the balance of the VMRA is to be amortized over a 5-year period. So this compliance filing asks for approval of the April 13 through November 14 activities, the 2015 budget, and the November 30th, 2014 VMRA balance. Through the discovery process, staff has confirmed that two contractors were selected as part of a competitive bid process as the lowest cost proposals that met the technical specifications of the RFP. Staff has reviewed all the bids as well as the cost to date and budgeted future costs and verified the accuracy of the VMRA balance. However, staff feels it may be premature, being 2 years into a 5-year plan, to completely analyze the overall success and prudency of the plan and provide approval for interim stages. Thus, staff does not have a recommendation at this time. Thank you.
Questions from the commission? I guess I've only got one question. Obviously, when you cut trees, sometimes people take offense at that. Have you gotten any complaint from citizenry as you're going about the project? You're obviously covering a lot of territory. Any complaints or people understanding what's going on?
I'll defer this question to Mr. Frederick.
Well, Commissioner, we've had limited complaints with respect to tree trimming activity. We try to get out in front of them, explain what we're doing with our customers, and working with them with respect to the activity that's taking place on their property. One of the areas that's been rather sensitive for us, and I think it's a sensitive subject throughout the hills, obviously, has been the mountain pine beetles. And we've also been working with both the Forest Service and some of the private landowners as we identify those type of locations, those type of trees that might be encroaching the right-of-way that could be considered hazardous trees, and work with them as it relates to getting them removed and taken out of service. Now, that's not to say that, you know, we might not have one or two individuals that at times are concerned with, you know, some of our tree removal, but, you know, we try to work with that customer as best we can to educate them and resolve the issue to meet both parties' needs.
I appreciate that explanation. So if I understand, if there's a tree you're concerned about that's outside of the easement area and the landowner gives you resistance, you try to work it out. But if you can't work it out, you end up leaving it alone, correct?
For the most part, yes. But again, we will try to do our due diligence with that customer. And a lot of times what we found actually is, you know, the customers understand that the tree is dead. And it's a benefit to both parties to remove that tree from the property. And a lot of times, you know, we're able to resolve those type of situations.
Thank you. Other questions? Commissioner Fegan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have several questions. The first question is, When I came to the commission, Black Hills Power was very diligent coming to the commission and showing us about the mountain pine beetle and how that certainly impacted our reliability. And I certainly appreciate your aggressive management of making sure reliability is strong. after that, though, Storm Atlas happened. And so I think the plan was developed right before Storm Atlas happened. So when Storm Atlas happened, how did you allocate those costs? Because there had to be some vegetation management right there during Storm Atlas. Did they go to the Storm Atlas fund, which we're normalizing over 5 years, or did they go to the vegetation operational expense, or are they part of the regulatory asset?
This is John Thurber on behalf of Black Hills Power. The vegetation that was done as a result of Winter Storm Atlas, that wasn't part of the vegetation management trim cycle that was specific to the storm event. So the vegetation management work that was done specifically for that event was recorded to the Winter Storm Atlas regulatory asset and is being recovered through that mechanism.
Okay, thank you. And so then in 2013, the over budget of 111%, that's just the aftermath from Storm Atlas that you were talking about?
No, that is the vegetation management that's related to the achieving the five-year trim cycle and addressing the mountain pine beetle infestation.
Okay. I might have read that wrong. Yeah, I thought I read that it also included some of the aftermath for Storm Atlas, more than just, and that's why the budget was over. And I could have read that wrong, Mr. Thurber, so.
Mr. Frederick, do you have anything to add?
The other thing I would add to that, if I'm understanding the question correctly, is, as we looked at and executed on our plan, we developed the plan back in in 2012, and outlined a plan for the next 5 years from there. So we were forecasting what our expenditures would be in the amount of line miles that were trimmed, and part of the overage that we had in 2013. Had to do with working on circuits that, as we forecasted those originally, we estimated the amount of dollars per line mile to work on those. And a lot of those circuits, come to find out, also required some additional work, and the amount of dollars that we forecasted out in the forest was lower than what the actual cost was to actually clear the right away on those circuits. So that was also another contributing factor as it related to the budget.
Okay, thank you. Also in the settlement EL-12-061, I can't find anything in my documentation, but it may be somewhere where I just didn't have time to find it. I didn't realize the regulatory asset was going to be nearly 100% more than the operating expense, because the operating expense, as you remember in the settlement, the staff moved that up around $300,000 to reflect your current operation in the settlement. And then the staff also stipulated, of course, anything over that would be a regulatory asset. I can't find anything, and it's maybe in the documentation. Did you the commission aware that it would be nearly 100% increase?
In the rate case, I believe in Mr. Kilpatrick's testimony, the company provided the 2013 budget for vegetation management. So the 2013 budget was provided to the commission. The 2014 budget and forward that's being provided to the commission for the first time in this filing.
See, I would have had to go read some more testimony to figure that out. I looked at some other places and just couldn't find it, so thank you. Also in your miles in 2016 is a lot less than 2015, and when I looked at it, it looks like you're spending more time in the Northern Hills, and instead of the miles costing in 2015, it's about $7,300 per mile. It goes up to about $11,600 per mile. Is it because of the Northern Hills and the train is different? Or why is it so much more expensive in 2016 and 2017 per mile?
Commissioner Fegan, I'd like to have Mr. Frederick answer that.
Well, there again, Commissioner, as we look at the 2015 budget, there is 455 miles estimated for lines trimmed in 2015. And as you look at that, part of that is associated with more rural and urban type circuits. Plus, there's an attempt in 2015 to pick up approximately 50 some miles of work that was not done in 2014. Now, as we look at those urban and more rural areas, it should be less cost per mile to do that work. And as you look at 2016, there again, is it, we're getting back into the forest area as we look at those dollars. And as we sit here today, that's a forecast expenditure for that time period of getting out into the forested areas where we're finding it takes more time and the growth out there is a lot more significant than we might have originally forecasted. And plus, we're also anticipating the Pine Mountain beetle issues to continue to increase. Even though I think there's been some identification that the infestation of the pine beetle flowing, there's still a lot of tree activity out there that we're noticing from our surveys from the past history of the infestation, and we anticipate having to deal with that more prevalent in those out years as well.
Thank you. That's what I thought. I thought it was because of the Northern Hills or whatever the train. The question on years 6 through 10, Mr. Thurber. So you put together a 5-year cycle for vegetation management, and then we're amortizing the regulatory asset in years 6 through 10. What do you expect the vegetation operational expense, the annual expense in years 6 through 10? Do you expect that to go down? Are the ratepayers going to be kind of double hit by a regulatory asset and an annual expense that is at a high cost? Or what are you expecting ratepayers to see in years 6 through 10?
Right now, our budget for 2018 is around $2.9 million. Our objective is to maintain a 5-year trim cycle going forward. I think it's difficult to forecast what those expenses will be 2018 and beyond. At the time that we requested this regulatory asset, we knew that we would be in a rate case cycle related to the infrastructure investments, so it made sense at that point in time to defer some of these costs to mitigate some of the impact. So in terms of the budget going forward and the impact of including that regulatory asset and the amortization, the commission will have an opportunity to review the proposal prior to year 6 through 10. And if it determines that the rate impact is greater than what they feel is, if the impact would be too great to customers, you can spread that amortization over a longer time period to kind of address this extraordinary circumstance with the mountain pine beetle. So it'll be just a proposal prior to year 6, and the commission will have ultimate authority on the rate-making treatment.
Thank you. And just a quick question for staff. I certainly appreciate your comment. Just wanted to clarify your comment. You talked about maybe in the interim process, when you look at a regulatory asset, most of the time the commission has reviewed that at the end. And although that isn't your recommendation, I don't think I heard you say that if the commission would go that way and say, you know what, we are so thankful that you came here today to give us an annual report. And you guys have really made significant impact. Black Hills Power has done a great job on getting the trees that are infected down And as you can see, through the outages from trees has significantly went down, and we certainly appreciate that. But the regulatory asset, maybe a since the commission certainly is involved in prudency, we could look at that at the end of the time, so at the end of year five or the beginning of year six, to make sure all the costs were prudent for ratepayers.
Yes, that'd be my recommendation.
Great. Thank you. That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Additional questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Rizlov.
And I'm going to follow up Commissioner Feagin's last question statement. I believe Mr. Thurber said at the end of the cycle the commission could revisit the issue, and if the amount of the amortization over a five-year period in year 6 to 10 appeared to be perhaps a little more significant than what the commission would choose to amortize in each of those 5 years, that it could possibly be lengthened at that point. And I think just that statement alone indicates to me that it'd be a good idea to consider whatever would follow in year 6 or 10 at the point where this is complete rather than right now. I don't know if that's a question. I just, you know, Mr. Thurber, if you care to give any feedback to that statement, I'd be willing to listen.
Yeah, as you notice, by the balance as of the end of November, this is a significant expense to customers and the company. It's kind of an extraordinary event. I'm not aware of any. A tenured South Dakota regulation certainly doesn't extend the length that some at the commission, but I'm not aware of any vegetation management regulatory assets that have been approved in the past. So there's really no precedent on how to handle this type of rate-making mechanism. So with the extraordinary nature of this mechanism and the fairly significant financial implications of this, it'd be nice to have guidance. It would be nice to know, make sure that along the process that we're doing things appropriately and making sure that, you know, if there's suggestions along the way that they're implemented and incorporated.
Commissioner Feagin.
I have one more question about the bidding process and your contractors, because it's not employees that is actually doing your vegetation management program, correct? Okay.
That's correct.
So the bidding process when you have a contractor, and as you know, the commission is looking at prudency, and we always want to make sure there's just not an open checkbook. So in your contract with the people that are doing the vegetation management plan, how do they live within the guidelines, or how is your contract? Is it open-ended? Is there guidelines in that contract for prudency? And I know we will look at this probably at the end of the 5 years or the sixth year, but I just kind of want to ask those questions before you go into several more years.
Commissioner, I'd like to have Mr. Frederick answer that question.
With respect to the contractors, we did go out for a bid as part of this process, and we had solicited five vendors to provide bids on our proposal, and one of those five was a no bid, so we were down to four. And as part of that process, we do our due diligence with respect to those companies, you know, and we looked at their, not only their cost, but their ability to perform with the contract and the scope of work that we identified. We look at their, any past operational history that we may have with them, or any other relationships that they may have within the region, their ability to provide the manpower resources to manage for the projects, and a little bit on the safety side as well. As I think you might have heard over the years, you know, safety is another important aspect to Black Hills Corp and Black Hills Power. And we also look at, and we actually we've been tracking their safety record and their performance, not only on a local basis, but on a regional basis as well. So there's a number of those factors that are taken into consideration as we selected the vendors. And currently we have two vendors, two contractors on site performing this program for Black Hills Power. And as part of that, as I mentioned, we define a scope of work for the year, and we do have a contract with them. And under that contract, we do have a contract limit that is established for the year for that scope of work with each of those vendors. And then from there, my director, my manager of vegetation management, will manage both of those contractors to that contract and to their defined scope of work.
Thank you, but my main question was the cost, not necessarily the safety and operations and employees, and I understand that that's all important too, but my question as an economic regulator was the cost. So the scope of work you talked about, you talked a tiny bit about that and limiting that. So the scope of work, does that have a cost factor in there, or is it just
Yes, it does.
So they have a cap.
They have a cap on their contract. So, for example, one of the vendors has a $2 million contract cap for the year, and another vendor has $1.4 million.
$1.4 million. Thank you. So I'm sure we will ask at the end of the 5 years, and depending on how the commission votes today, if the prudency of the contracts and the caps were prudent. Thank you.
Additional questions? Commissioner Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for either counsel or for one of our analysts. As I understand this proposal, if we were to disallow it, does that, it's my understanding that that would not in any way inhibit the applicant's ability to do the tree trimming that they're required to do. Is that correct?
May I, Mr. Chairman, John Smith, Commission Counsel, I don't know if the word disallow maybe is the appropriate word.
If we do not approve.
If you do not approve. If you take no action, or you take action to state that we will do as staff has recommended and we will consider this as a backward-looking thing when we hit the point where we're going to head into the 6 to 10 year recovery period, if that makes sense. And at that point, then you could review everything and decide whether the money's been prudently and reasonably spent.
So my question is, does this inhibit their ability to do the work that they're required to do if we were not to approve it at this juncture?
I guess that's for Black Hills. I mean, my guess is that I know if I were in their shoes, I'd probably be happier if it was pre-approved, but that doesn't generally happen with the South Dakota system, because we don't have a pre-prudency approval regime like they do in a lot of states.
Follow-up question then, if I may. Mr. Thurber, do you see this, if the commission were not to take action with this docket at this juncture, would that inhibit your ability to do the work that you're required to do? And I recognize you're truly under the gun here from the standpoint of the court cases that have taken place, and that the work needs to take place. And I do not in any way want the commission to make it more difficult for you to do the work that you need to be done and need to accomplish. And especially from the standpoint of we don't want to see the folks lose electricity.
No, and I didn't take the question that way.
Someone knows you better than you. There's the John we used to know.
He's now red.
Somebody needs to mute their phone, I think.
That wasn't me, John.
Yes. I guess what I would ask is, I'm not sure if I would qualify this as pre-approval. I would qualify this as a review of the 740 miles that we trimmed, so you can see the actual results. We're not just given a budget and saying write an open check. I mean, it's part of the contract is it's time and materials. So it's not just they get $2 million and $1.4 million. There's hourly rates for the contractors, and then there's also fixed rates for the materials. So after each distribution circuit gets completed, the vegetation management supervisor reviews the invoices that are submitted and does a sanity check. And then besides the reasonableness review, there are spot checks to make sure that the work gets done. But back to your original question. I don't think it would prevent us, but if the budgets hold true, you can see that the first year was $1.8 million. So after the end of 5 years, we're talking about potentially $8.5 million sitting in a regulatory asset, hoping for recovery with no real guidance from the commission whether a five-year trim cycle is appropriate, if our methods are appropriate. So, I mean, it's a significant financial commitment on behalf of the company. We're required by law to maintain a reliable system, in my opinion, so that your ruling in this docket won't change that requirement. Mr. Frederick, do you have anything else to add?
Not really, John. From my perspective, as I look at it, based on everything you just said, as well as we're going to execute on the five-year plan as we've identified it, and that's our current game plan, and we want to and need to get to that five-year cycle on our distribution system for a number of reasons, and we feel it's very important to get to that point for us to continue to provide a reliable, safe service to our customers and deal with, you know, the issues that we have out here in the forested area in a very prudent manner. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Hansen.
In docket EL14-108, I move that the commission approve the April 2013 through November 2014 vegetation management activities, the 2015 vegetation management budget, and the November 30th, 2014 VMRA balance.
Discussion on the motion.
This is an interesting docket and unique, obviously. Ultimately, from my standpoint in making the motion, I don't think that any utility is going to go out and invent more trees to trim than they need to. And certainly, with the history that Black Hills Power has in the court system and with the challenge that they had for their citizens, I think they're going to make certain that it's done properly. And this, I believe, has the safeguards to it for us for a future commission to look at and make certain that it's done properly as well. So I'm supporting that.
Additional discussion on the motion. Commissioner Fegan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Black Hills Power has done a great job in vegetation management, and that's extremely important to the Commission on Reliability. But I also believe that the commission needs to look at prudency, and I believe as a regulatory asset, normally we don't look at that until the end. So I am supporting the staff recommendation and will not be voting for this motion today, and will consider no action, but appreciate what you've brought. You've brought some great information to the commission, and we certainly appreciate how you're taking care of the reliability of the service in the Black Hills.
Additional discussion. I would move to amend the motion by adding a caveat that we are not at this point making a prudency determination on the regulatory asset. Discussion on the amendment. I agree with both of your statements. I think we do need to take some action on this to, you know, tell a company that you're moving in the right direction. We appreciate what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. I think Commissioner Hansen is exactly right in that. But so far as the regulatory asset amount, I think, you know, typically we do not issue a pre-prudency determination, and I think it would be appropriate to deal with that at the time that the regulatory asset is mature. And hence the nature of my amendment. Additional discussion on the amendment.
I do have a question about the amendment, Mr. Chairman. In our rate base, we did give Black Hills Power 1.7 annually, so that's already in the budget for the next 5 years or however long. I guess they're out of a rate case. So I'm not for sure what your amendment does compared to a no action.
The intention of the amendment is to assure that for the regulatory asset portion of this, that the prudency is determined at the time that that matures, if you will, and it comes back in front of us. But I also think it's important to give some affirmation to the company that we believe in the program. And that as we're looking at the miles and the dollars that and the forecasted 2015 plan, that this is something that we believe they ought to be doing.
Just a quick question then of General Counsel. So it appears to me actually it's kind of the same thing, because if you do no action, we've talked about looking at the regulatory asset at the end.
Right.
Or if we go with Commissioner Nelson's amendment, it's really the same outcome at the end of the day.
I would say with respect to the regulatory asset, that's true. And I, you know, if I understand Commissioner Hansen's motion and as amended, it...
Commissioner Nelson?
Well, his, Commissioner Hansen's original motion, and then there's an amendment pending. But that, I think, if I'm understanding the point of it, at least it provides some level of
assurance.
Yes, of support, I guess, is that the path is going down the right path, with obviously at the end of the line the numbers will have to be carefully scrutinized, analyzed by staff, subjected to review by the commission, and we need to make sure that the process was competently managed, you know, from an economic standpoint and a physical standpoint. I think that's where it goes. So in a sense, I think it gets kind of the same place. But with the motion as amended, there would at least be some expression of affirmance of going forward with the project. And if I'm understanding it right.
If I might just add to that, let me make it very clear. I see nothing at this point that would tell me that there's anything improper going on here. Quite to the contrary. But I think we would not be doing our due diligence to make that determination today as opposed to when the program's done. Commissioner Hansen.
I appreciate the motion to amend, because I do think it's very important to give the utility some confidence that the commission has confidence in what they're doing and that they're on the right path.
Additional discussion on the amendment. Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. The motion is carried. The motion or the amendment is carried. The motion is amended. Further discussion on the motion. Commissioner Hansen.
None. Thank you for the. I turned it on so that I could turn on my mic so I could vote.
Additional discussion on the motion is amended. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, John. Thank you, Mike. And we do appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you, commissioners, and have a good day.
That brings us to EL 15-003 in the matter of the request for approval of electric service territory boundary agreement between Parker Public Utilities and Southeastern Electric Cooperative. Mr. Chardine, have you joined us?
Yes, I have, Chairman.
Mr. Chardine, I have to ask, were you the source of the inadvertent chuckle a while back?
I did. I have to confess that I was there because I sympathized with the guy having the question proposed to him. So,
well, and we are all chuckling in the meeting room, so thank you for that that admission. With that, I will turn to staff, Mr. Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Brian Rounds for staff. This is just a continuation of our efforts to verify the electric service territory boundaries and convert them to a more accurate digital format. I guess I want to thank the two parties involved in this one, Parker and Southeastern, for helping us work through this and dealing with the bureaucracy this kind of has become. And I kind of want to give you just a quick update of where we're at on these boundaries before I recommend approval. We have identified 148 boundaries in total that we need to work through. If you approve this one, we would be at 115 of those approved. We have three that are currently docketed and have a couple of changes to be made, and that leaves about 30 left. I think about 20 of those 30 are out for approval with the other utilities, and about 10 of those still require work by staff.
Thank you. Appreciate that update. Mr. Chardine, anything to add?
No comments. I guess working with the City of Parker, we had some annexations that took place since the update was made, and we made those updates with the consent from the City of Parker, and we look forward to getting it finalized.
Very good. Thank you. Questions from the Commission? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 15-003, move that the Commission approve the proposed territory service boundary agreement. And I just want to say, yes, the Annex now has a new Family Dollar store in Parker, South Dakota. Our former majority leader, Russ Olson, helped secure that for Parker. And also, they are going to the State B basketball tournament this weekend in Aberdeen.
Is there any germane comments?
So I expect lots of energy to go to the basketball team.
Thank you. Additional germane comments.
I think she should be held in contempt.
I will say I did, as with all these boundaries, review this in detail and found it to be in perfect shape, and appreciate both of the parties working diligently on it. Additional discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. So far as announcements, commissioners and staff will be at the Black Hills Home Builders Show March 27th through 29th, meeting with constituents and visiting with folks out there. Our next regularly scheduled meeting, Tuesday, March 31st, 9:30 a.m. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.